Now, we're finally going to get to the segment of the show that I think some people want to hear most, and that's the Lizzie Borden interview.
Oh, excellent.
You and I both talked to Lizzie Borden. Now, let's set this up a little bit. You and I saw Lizzie, did his full show in a club, and we were supposed to speak with him. It didn't happen before the show, and, you know, we waited after the show. He did do the, you know, he went out and met with a fan, signed autographs, didn't charge for anything, went to the merch table. If you bought his stuff, he'd sign it, whatever.
Right.
Take pictures with you, talk to you. Nice guy. And even though we're fans, nevertheless, we're still in the media. We're still press. So,
right.
You know, I didn't want to go up there and get in front of anybody or, you know, put anybody off by saying, look, you know, we're here to do our interview. Can we, you know, no. Wait until the fans have had, you know, to do what they wanted to do.
Right.
Because even though I'm a fan and I wanted to be up there too, you know, business last. Fans
right.
come first.
Right.
So we waited and waited and waited. we were there pretty late.
Yeah.
We were there. I think we might have fallen asleep in a club. It was pretty late.
Yeah.
So the only thing that woke us up is, I don't know, it was like 2:30 a.m. or something. And Lizzie Borden is just walking through the club.
Right.
Going, I guess, to head out the back door. So you and I walk over to him. I'm like, hey, Lizzie, how's it going? You know, we're Mark and Jim from WSA, and we had an interview scheduled to do with you. You know, who do we talk to about setting this up and making sure it happens? I think I might even say that another time.
Yeah, I think when we approached him after the meet and greet, it looked like he had just come back from getting something to drink, and like you said, he was headed out the back.
Yeah, I think he might have even had a drink in his hand.
Yeah, I think their dressing room was sort of juxtaposed so that you had to head out the back door into like an alleyway and then kind of cut into their dressing room. They did have a dressing room, but it was way in behind the club. So he grabbed something to drink and was headed to the dressing room area. And we kind of walked up to him and reminded him, hey, we were supposed to have an interview with you. It didn't happen beforehand. Can we reschedule and maybe have you call the station? And his attitude was, well, why can't we just do it right now?
Yeah, he said, well, how much time you need? Like 15 minutes?
Right.
And we're like, yeah. And of course, your attitude and my attitude is you say 15, we'll take 30, 45.
Absolutely.
Which we, you know, it took half an hour.
Right.
And actually the interview you're going to hear is about almost 30 minutes long, but we didn't record everything we said because we talked to him before we started recording and we talked to him after we stopped recording.
Right.
So we probably got about 45 minutes out of him, and you and I wound up leaving town like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And I should point out as we go into this interview that it was quite noisy. There were people in the artist area that were eating, carrying on, having a good time. So it's pretty noisy.
Yeah.
But you, myself, and Lizzie were kind of like in the right in front of the doorway to where
right.
this room was. So we were kind of in between. People were walking in between us. Dario, the guitar player, interrupted us to, you know, have Lizzie meet a family member. And people
right.
were coming in and out. And a lot of people were just really loud.
Yeah.
So that's the noise you're going to hear. But you can still make out what Lizzie and you and myself are talking about. And it's going to run about a little under 30 minutes, and then we're going to play an old Lizzie tune. This is old school night, so we're going to play an older Lizzie tune. Email address, blacknightmeditations@msn.com. Jim, your email address?
It is jalvino, A-L-V-I-N-O, at wscafm.org.
It's very low-key. This is our festival show. This show has... We've done this in front of 50,000 people. You know, we've done it in Spain. We've done it in Germany. We've done it in Sweden, and all big, giant, monster shows. And so to squish it down into a festival show is very difficult. You know, because for some reason it's very hard to squish this whole thing down into a small stage, especially tonight. I mean, we're pretty much bumping into each other, you know.
Right. And I've seen you on bigger stages, I've seen you on small stage.
Yeah.
But what I appreciate about the band is that, you know, I don't see any difference in the band, small stage, big stage,
right.
you know, or if you're playing like some festival over in Europe, you know, there's the energy is still there. There's
exactly.
no different.
Exactly. That's the way the show was designed. It was designed to work with any audience. And we don't just say, okay, it's a club show, so we can just sit there and smoke cigarettes and drink and not care, even though there's a DJ playing Ozzy in the background.
Yeah, I
know. That was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say when I think about
that. That hasn't happened to us yet. This is the first night that it's happened to us. So
yeah, it was kind of
cut
bizarre.
Off guard.
Yeah.
But You know, the whole show is designed for entertainment, whether it's in a small club or a big festival.
Okay, well, speaking of designing, stage show aside, you've got so many records over the years. You've got the staples you have to play. I mean, everybody wants to hear Me Against the World. Yeah. We got the power, American Metal. But then, you know, you've got a little bit of the lesser-known songs. You've got the stuff from Appointment with Death, which, by the way, probably my second favorite record you've ever done. I love Appointment with Death.
I love that record.
First one? Love You to Pieces.
Yeah.
Every time I see you guys, I'm like, Counselor for the Culture and Counselor, and I still haven't seen you play it live. You
know, Rocklahoma, we opened up with part of it.
It's a great song.
So we have played part of it recently.
I mean, I hate to sound like one of those metalheads. Oh, I only like the old stuff, but...
Every night I get the same thing, what you just said. It's either Love You to Pieces or Menace is their first favorite, and Appointment is their second favorite, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I Deal with the Devil I liked, but it wasn't one of my favorites, you know? And so when I heard Appointment was coming out, actually what it was, before I even heard the record, I saw you in Worcester, Mass. At the Metal and Hardcore Festival.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, it's a lot of hardcore bands and death metal bands and like one traditional metal band. And what I appreciated is that, I guess it was Brian Slagle behind bringing you guys out there for that, because you were the odd band out.
Exactly.
And... so that was my introduction to the new material, because I think you did Bloody Tears, and I think you might have even done Appointment with Death. I don't remember, but you did a couple songs, and they were the best songs of the night, I thought. They were amazing. I'm like, this record has got to roll.
We got great reviews from that, you know. The thing I always say is, you know, we played with Slayer and we played with Poison. And it's like, we just do our thing, and it works with Poison, it works with Slayer.
Well, that's what's unique about your sound, is that you appeal to the hardcore metal heads, you know, and you appeal to the hard rock audience, you know.
And now, you know, I don't want to have to, like, fit into a category somewhere and just score.
Oh, I know, that's why when I hear people say Lizzie Borden, oh, glam band, I'm like, no, it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I've never wanted to do that, and I just say, why do I have to? You know? Why is society trying to force me into one side or the other? Right. I just want to do what musically and visually we want to do, and we don't have to say, okay, well, if we're in part of this genre, we have to do this, or we have to do this, which, do what we want to do.
Well, going back to the songs and what you're playing live, you got to play the new stuff, of course. You're still supporting the new record. I mean, how do you decide what songs to fill in the set list after you've chosen the new stuff and the obvious ones you have to play every night?
It's audience reaction. That's the way I do it. You know, we put the songs in there, and we went to Europe. We played everywhere, and if the song's not getting the reaction that I'd hoped that it would, then we take it out and replace it with something else. And then if that song gets reaction, then we keep it, and then, you know, we might mix and match and put it everywhere. You know, for this run, we at the last second threw in a little piece of Terror on the Town and Psychopath and Rod of Iron, because we knew there was going to be a lot of hardcore fans who wanted to hear that. So
the
last second we threw that in there. Yeah, we haven't played Psychopath in a long time.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was great to hear that, absolutely.
Now, would you ever focus on, like, a lot of bands are, you know, celebrating the anniversary of certain albums in their career by playing them top to bottom, you know, would you ever consider doing that with... Master of Disguise or Visualize or something like that?
A week ago was the anniversary of the release of Love You to Pieces.
Right.
And in December will be the anniversary of the release of Murderous Metal Roadshow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, at this point, I haven't, you know, it's looking back is not really what I'm doing. You know, I'm just really, we're playing just, not here, but in Europe, we play to a very young audience.
Oh, okay.
Some of them are like 13-year-old kids, and it's just... It's they are experiencing what we're doing now,
right?
And they love what we did then. They were kind of like backtracking, buying the old records, but really their Appointment with Death is like their first introduction to Lizzie Borden.
Okay.
So I'm still focused on the future, you know. And we're this is the best reviewed record we've ever had.
Awesome.
You know, since 1983, Appointment with Death is the best reviewed record. So,
oh wow.
So we're like. That's really kind of my main focus.
And
omitting songs from that album is like tragic for me, because I would like to play the whole album.
Right.
And as far as doing, you know, a full album, if there was a request for it, you know, maybe that I would do Master of Disguise. I mean, I would love to do that. When we did the original tour, that tour lasted 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And we did 80% of the album. And it was great. I loved it, that album. I didn't expect anyone to like it. I didn't even care if anyone liked it. I just made that record. And said, I'm going to do it, and if no one likes it, I don't care. And every night, everyone loved it, except for I would hear the psychopath, you know.
Right. The old school show, the old songs.
They loved the show, and it was great fun doing it. So, I mean, I would do it if it was like, I don't know, if there was something that made it all work, if I could create a show around it, I would do it.
Okay.
So, I don't want to say your career with Metal Blade, but it kind of has been your career with Metal Blade. What is it about your relationship with the label and Brian Slagle that has kept you around? I mean, there was a time where I don't know the business end behind it, but you know, there could have been major labels just dying to sign you. Yet here we are, all these years later. It's like when I think of Metal Blade, you know, I'm gonna think Lizzie Borden. You know, there are very few people I think of. You come to mind. I mean, what is it with Metal Blade Records?
I think it's the freedom to, because they have no restrictions on, you know. I mean, we almost signed with Columbia once. I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel ready to sign the papers.
When was this?
It was right after Master of Disguise was released. Okay. They loved that album. The vice president just went nuts over it and contacted us. And so I met with some people at Beverly Hills Hotel, and they wanted it, but the A&R guy didn't want it. He was into Faster Pussycat or something at that time, so, and it became such a weird thing, so I said, forget it, whatever. But with Metal Blade, they don't say, okay, we want this and we want that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. We actually rule the roost. We decide what album we're going to do, what singles we want to be released, whatever. You know, we have complete, absolute control. And that's led to be able to, we made lots of mistakes that way, but we also struck gold a couple of times, you know. So with Metal Blade, you get to do that. You know, I think he does, you know, they do that with all their fans. They just let them create. And you know, sometimes you fall flat on your face, and sometimes you win. You know, so, and I think that's it. And when a band is developing throughout the years, I think we're still developing after 26 years. We're still developing. Like I said, Appointment with Death was our best reviewed record. So it's like, oh, I think we finally, we're finally getting to a place where we're kind of almost satisfied with some of the releases that we're doing. You know, every time I release a record, I go, I wish the mix was better. I wish the mastering was better. I wish we had more money to do this. But, it's never totally satisfied, but we're happy with the response.
Well, going back to that show you did in Worcester at that that Hardcore Metal Fest, was it simply a case of Slagle saying to you guys, can you play the show? Do you want to do it? I want you there. I mean, what led to you playing on a festival where obviously you were the odd band out, but... obviously it was the anniversary of Metal Blade, so it made sense to have some of those bands that have been with the label for a long time, no matter what style they were. I mean, what led you to play that show?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that odd for us because the 10th anniversary we played with Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, that was out in California, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've kind of done that before, so when they asked us to do that, it was like, okay, well, you know, even though Job for Cowboy and all the other bands are coming on before and after us, it's... And they were so extremely different than us. We said we would just go out and do our thing. And like I said, the reviews were so good from that. Because people, you know, that genre of music, it just goes on and on and on and on. And on. We go out there, different drum beats.
Yeah.
Different songs.
It was so unique at that show because I actually had to show up that day early so I could see you guys. Because you were on at a ridiculous hour of like 5 in the afternoon when you should have been like at least one of the... top headlining bands. Sorry.
Olivia, I'm trying to introduce you to my family.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
So I got there in time to see you, and it was weird. I'm looking around, and it's like, it's clear that these people have no idea who Lizzie Borden is, except for like five of us were up there in the front doing this. But what was great is that by the end of the set, or even when you were doing There Will Be Blood Tonight, you were bleeding all over some of us. It's like you converted the crowd, man. I swear, when you guys walked off stage, I was looking around. They were totally into you.
I know.
And they didn't know anything about you to begin with. And I'm like, yes.
It's that changing minds, you know. They come to see what they know and what they want to see, and they don't want anything else. And then when something comes in there and you're twisting it and turning it and tweaking it and saying, you're going to like this, just give it a couple of seconds, you're going to like this. The attention span of people nowadays is like so short. So you've got a little bit of time to turn their minds around. And it took a couple of songs, but after we got going, and all, you know, we went to the airport the next day and there was a guy there and he goes, Lizzie Borden. And he was the attendant guy that was checking the IDs. Me and my son were there last night. We saw you. Awesome. It's like, because my son loves you now. And he's like a 13-year-old kid, you know. So it's like, it's turning the mind of a short attention span world. And it's not easy, but if you stick to your guns, which what we do, we didn't try and convert anything into trying to compete with the Joneses. Right. We just do what we do.
Right.
Well, do you ever find that you're in a situation where, whether you're at a festival or even you're on tour, that once you start playing, you realize, okay, the crowd's not with us? I mean, do you find that when you're on stage, you just do what you do, or do you make an effort and try to win them over?
There's only, actually, every festival we've ever done in our whole career has been, we've always won the crowd over. Never not. Except for one time we played the Reading Festival with Alice Cooper. And everybody was getting bombed before the ship with piss bottles. Right outside of London, it was 50,000 people there. It was nuts. And but there was regular metal bands on it. It wasn't like it is now, where it was like in hardcore or whatever. It was just regular metal bands, and people, they just wanted to throw piss at you. And so we were like, our little trailer was right outside the ramp, and we watched these people come out drenched, every band before us. We're like, holy shit, we're going to be doomed. And we get up there, and I'm dressed silver. It was 87. I had my hair out to here, silver makeup everywhere. And we get out there, and the audience didn't know what to make of us. You know, and I had the axe. I just took on the front row. That was my only salvation. I took on the front row, and I said, let's go. And I won them over, and I started seeing it going back further and further and further and further. And we were home free.
Right.
And we were playing an album, Visualize, which hadn't even been released yet. So I'm thinking, we got it. We got this. And then some of the crew guys tripped over my wireless and it went out. And we had Iron Maiden sound man working us. And there was no other mic. All of a sudden, the crowd's going, starting to get pissed off. Then the piss bottles start coming. The band's running for cover. And then I was talking or something. I grabbed one of the mics and was talking. The piss bottle kind of hit me. And I just said, that was a great shot, motherfucker. And the crowd laughed, and then we had him. And then I told Joey, Born to be Wild, let's go.
Right.
We played Born to be Wild, bam, we had him. So a little improvising things under duress, you know, in that situation. Even Alice Cooper got bombed. You know, the whole thing was just, you know, they were just doing it then for some reason. So, but we got out of it, you know. But, I mean, we just played all the new festivals. We played Wacken before. We played Bang Your Head 10 years ago. We just played Bang Your Head a couple of years ago. It was amazing. We actually played two shows in one day. Played the first show.
I remember that. Yeah, because you did two different sets. Yeah,
we played the first show, killed. I mean, the audience was nuts, all very young kids, but it was mostly young kids in the front. We get off stage, of course, the promoter comes over and goes, yeah, one of our bands got canceled. You know? And I go, we'll do the second, we'll do another show. Is he kidding? How could you top that? I don't know, we'll do it. And we ended up doing another show. And we played Sweden Rock and the best reviews of the whole festival, and there was pretty great bands on that band, so that was pretty amazing too. We got like a 9 out of 10 on the rating. Sweet. So. And we're playing Wacken this year, so it's just, you know, it's the festival season over there is it's an amazing thing to play if you're a band that has some tradition behind it. And that's what, you know, so we're having a blast. And like I said, we're doing a whole European tour based on that, so it's pretty fun.
Well, as you said, Appointment with Death is so well received. Do you feel any sort of sense of, with the next record, I've got to build on what we created with Appointment with Death? Or do you simply do, I do what I do, whatever comes out, regardless of how Appointment with Death sounded? I mean, where do you go from Appointment?
I know the label wants us to follow what we did on Appointment with Death, but I can't do it because I've already set my sights on creating something else. And, you know, with Appointment with Death, my vision was to merge pieces of Queen with Judas Priest, you know. That was kind of my idea. So, because it's hard to describe an audio thing, you know, but even to the band, I'm saying this is kind of what I want to do. I want heavy guitars, you know, really good drums and bass with lots of vocals, lots of, you know, 5-6-part harmonies. What is that going to sound like? I don't know. I haven't seen that before. So let's see what we can do. So I've already, you know, on the new stuff I've been writing, it's completely departure, merging a couple of other things with a couple of other things, and I'm like, I don't know what it's going to sound like. Let's try it and see what we get. To just repeat what we just did, I don't want to do that. After Master of Disguise, when I did Deal with the Devil, I knew I didn't want to repeat it, but I wanted, we had the same kind of rhythm, right? Same producer, same, brought in musicians to play on it, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't band type of record. But Appointment with Death had we had our vision of where we wanted to take it, and the new stuff that I'm working on as a departure from that. And, you know, if it falls, it falls. But I have to keep the artistic. It has to be fun. Just to repeat it just because it was successful is not really my thing.
Well, you mentioned Queen, and it's already sounding, for total lack of a better word, theatrical. I mean, do you feel that there's any sort of correlation to Master of Disguise?
The sense of I don't care if people like it. You know, for Appointment with Death, I kind of did want people to like it. I was like, we did actually look back at all the records, and I wanted to steal flavors from some of those records and put this in Appointment with Death, along with what I said before, you know, the combination of vocals versus heavy guitars and stuff. Because, you know, every heavy band has a guttural singer. So you merge not a guttural singer and someone's doing, you know, 4 or 5 part harmonies on it, you're going to get something somewhat original, you know, in this decade.
Right.
So that's kind of what we said, you know. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be a guttural singer, so there's no reason for me to do that. So. But for the new stuff, I've got a new vision, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Do you have an ATA? I mean, are we talking 2011?
Yeah, probably maybe late summer. We've booked 5 shows in South America, and it's turning into like 2-month tour.
Oh, wow.
The European tour started out to be 3 weeks. Now it's going to be 6 or 8 weeks. And now we're doing Japan, and I think we're just going to take it all the way to December. And then we'll start working in January on the album. See, and get the writing together on that.
How much of it is written so far?
I've been writing since Appointment with Death. But, you know, I was kind of figuring out where I wanted to go with it, and only recently I kind of hit a little piece of gold where I'm kind of going, okay, this could be the direction. So, I sporadically, between all the things we've been doing, I've been doing demos and stuff. I found the ones, usually one song really keys it off on where you want to go. That song I've just written, so.
What's it called?
I can't tell you.
Oh, come on!
Oh, something's got to be a surprise.
But it could be, I mean, that's, you, like I said, you come up with that one song. I think on Born with Death, it was Live Forever. As soon as we wrote Live Forever, it was like, that was where we wanted to go.
Huh.
It was very melodic and had a lot of different things, and then one song leads to the other after that.
But you wouldn't say this new record is something that the majority of the Lizzie fans would not feel like, wait, maybe I'm not really into this. I mean, it's going to be a Lizzie Borden record, right? It's not a departure.
It's so hard to say because I thought Master of Disguise was an unbelievable departure.
I thought it was a little bit of a departure too, yeah, sure.
It's the best-selling record we've ever done.
But it's also, I mean, it's not like I ever listened to it to this day and still think, it just doesn't sound like Lizzie. Of course it sounds exactly like Lizzie Borden, but yeah, it's a bit of a departure.
But there's a 40-piece orchestra.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And you know, yeah. All these extremely different melodies, and it's not the ideas that we used in the early days, so... But it's our biggest selling record, you know, and it was a record where I didn't care if anyone liked it, you know. And so I have that same mentality right now for this one. Like I said, for Point of Death, I really did care. I did want people to like it. So I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know exactly how it's going to end up, but I'm digging the journey.
But we'll find out in a year from now, you think?
Yeah.
A year from now. I'm going to look to it.
We're touring until December, the end of the year. I have... strong feelings we'll be doing some New Year's Eve area shows, you know, after this full world tour happened. And then we're going to hardcore sit down and create some things.
Are you going to write while you're on tour?
I write when I'm going out. Like, soon we get back from the East Coast run, I'll have a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. Dario, he's got that Brian May feel.
He's a hell of a guitar player.
Yeah, he scored in getting him.
Oh, yeah, we got very lucky. Yeah. He's such a great, like I said, he sounds like Brian May to me when I hear him on his own. You know, he's playing all his vibrato and all that great stuff. And he's such a big Queen fan that, you know, adding those elements into what we do is just all the more reason why I want to really dig down deep and see what else we can come up with.
So the Queen influence is going to come out even more so than, like, say, Master.
I think so. I mean, I originally thought I was going to go the other direction and get rid of the harmonies and just do a straight ahead lead vocal. Just because I hadn't done that in a while. You know, Master of Disguise and Deal with the Devil and Point with Death all had 5-6-part harmonies on it, vocally. And I figured, oh, let's do something different. Let's just go with that one single vocal. And I was like, it's not that interesting to me. Everyone does that, so I wasn't that interested in it. But we definitely are going to work with the production. We're really interested in the production. There's going to be a single coming out soon, though, based with Dario playing.
Really?
We already recorded it. It's a cover of a song, but I don't want to tell you.
See, you can't do that. You can't talk about it and not tell me what it is.
Since we're going to Japan, they're re-releasing the best of it with a couple acoustic songs and this one single that we did together.
Oh, wow. And is it a cover of...
It's a cover of a song you wouldn't a million years.
But pop band, rock band?
No,
or?
It's pop band.
Pop band, really? Okay, from what decade? Give me something to go on here. The 80s. Pop band from the 80s. Wow.
It's a pop entertainer from the 80s.
Pop entertainer.
That's all I'm giving you.
Well, you said entertainer, so it's not necessarily a singer. Maybe cover the Eddie Murphy single.
Yeah.
My girl likes to party all the time.
That has to be redone.
That's awesome. Lizzie Eddie
James.
Murphy.
Yeah.
Rick James proven. All right, it's a new album, 2011. Summer. Definitely.
Because I know that we're going to be doing the festivals every summer in Europe. It's such a fun time, you know, to do that. I mean, to be looking forward to that. The summers will be looking forward to, especially since all the other bands do it too. So, like I said, the Bakken's, Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, Motley Crue.
Yeah, Bakken's amazing.
Wasp, Us, Slayer, I think, and just a slew of other bands.
It's like a way
sick.
Of life over there too.
Yeah, it's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
Sweden Rock was so fun for us too. I mean, playing that, you know. Every time you play a different country, a festival in a different country, we played Spain with Motley Crue. It was Motley Crue, Anthrax, Dream Theater, just a slew of just really well-known bands. And we actually had a huge, we went on at like 8:30 at night, which is rare because we're usually a 3 or 4 in the afternoon band, you know.
Right.
So it was, but just, you know, play in front of, you know, we had already played headline 2 or 3 shows in Spain, but that play in front of like I think it was 30,000 people. They were just sick. Different feel than Sweden, different feel than Germany, but very much to, opposite from America. America is a different animal nowadays. In the 80s, we ruled, but now it's like... But the festivals, I think, you know, with Rocklahoma and now Rock in America, we're playing that.
Nice.
I think if that spreads, it's starting to spread throughout, you know.
Yeah. Getting more festivals like that in the country.
So more people will be more excited about the fun of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that, you got to get some more festivals over here.
And while it's great that a band like you would play to like Berlin, New Hampshire, to like 30 people in a place where they do weddings. You were up in New Hampshire. Seriously, at a place where they have weddings. They didn't do concerts there. And I'm like, oh my God, do I really want to drive up there, or do I want to go down to Club Hell in Providence and see, like, so, you know, I mean, it's cool that you play to small places, but yeah, these festivals, I mean, that's definitely, I mean, to reach the people you can't reach otherwise in the
it's
States.
It's also the celebration. There's more of a celebration attitude when you play these festivals, and to me, smiles on faces are what the show was created for. If I'm just headbanging, killing somebody, or whatever. There's always a smile, you know. I get that whole thing, and that reaction is everything to me. You know, I mean, just like what a punker or a thrash band wants, you know, that beehive thing going on. That's right. Their reaction. My reaction is smiles on faces. I'm just like so excited to see some sort of theatrics that they're not used to seeing, and we're delivering that, and that reaction is what we're looking for, and we're getting.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys like me, put the blood on my face.
blood. You know, it's a contagious thing. It's a theatrical thing to be able to connect. And the audience is a really big part of our show. That's why it works so well on a big stage. It's very difficult for us to do our show on a small stage. You would think it'd be the opposite, you know.
But it works, man. From a fan's point of view, it's totally works.
For us, it's so difficult for a small stage, but it just flows. Because the audience becomes an animal, becomes actually a member of the band.
Yeah.
And all the cues and everything are worked around based on what their reaction is going to be collectively.
There was a guy tonight that was practically on stage. He's so into it. Yeah. You know?
That becomes an improvised thing. I've got to go, okay, well, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with this DJ who keeps playing Ozzy?
Yeah, exactly.
How am I going to deal with all this stuff? You know, it breaks up the show. And but for the festivals, I mean, they become so collectively part of it that you can really go on all day long, just keep playing, you know, and it works. But so that's it. But you know, we try to condense this whole show down into playing clubs, and we're having fun. It's fun.
I have fun, man. That's absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello, suckers. This is Lizzie Borden, and you're listening to Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1 FM.
This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1. I'm Mark. I'm here with Jim. And you just heard Lizzie Borden, Voyeur from the Visualize LP.
Great record.
Well, yeah, it is. And a great song. Probably my favorite song on Visualize.
Yep.
And before that was our interview with Lizzie. And, you know, aside from the fact that the band members and their friends yelling and screaming and carrying on in the background.
We were right outside the dressing room party, in case you didn't notice.
God, they would not shut the hell up.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you know, I mean, Lizzie just said, he brought us to that area, he said, what about right here? And or I think he might have said, oh, how about right here? I'm
yeah.
Like, not really asking, but telling us.
Right, we didn't really realize.
You know, I didn't want to say, you know, hey, look, this is Lizzie Borden. It's, you know, I've listened to this guy since the 80s. I'm going to go wherever he wants to go to do the interview, right?
Right. We just wanted to get it done.
I went with it. He wanted to give us 15 minutes. We took 45, basically. The interview was 30, recorded part.
Right.
But like I said, we talked to him before and after recording. So,
right.
I mean, took up a lot of his time. Very gracious. He didn't rush us. I mean, as we were walking away, he was still standing there talking to us. And
right.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah, he was great.
So down to earth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, none of that, you know, I've been around forever. You know, I'm well known in metal, and I've done this a gazillion times. You know, I don't need to be doing this. I didn't. None of that.
No, he really got that. You know, I think he fed off of our enthusiasm. You know, for his catalog and his music,
and I think this. You know, tying this into the WSCA's pledge drive and why people should support WSCA is because I think our interviews go as well as they do because the artists realize quickly that the people that are interviewing them actually know who they are.
Right.
Our fans listen right. to their music, know their history, know the discography, and are not just people sent to do an interview.
Right.
Now, again, it's not necessarily there's anything wrong with people doing interviews who don't necessarily know the subject, but let's face it, it makes for a better interview when the person doing it knows what they're talking about.
Right.
And is clearly into the subject, you know, and has knowledge on the subject.
Right. And this wasn't a show that was right down the street either.
We made a couple hours trek to go see the show, and it totally worth it.
Absolutely. But we drove three states away to get this content basically for WSCA, because we wanted to, because we care.
I mean, we didn't have to do it.
We didn't have to, but we wanted to, for sure.
We wanted to do this. And it's Lizzie Borden, I mean, I've been listening to him since the old days, and I still listen to the old stuff, the new stuff. I've said it before, I think Appointment with Death, his last record, it's like 3 years old now.
Yeah.
I think it's one of his best records.
Yeah, I enjoy
it. Fantastic.
It's great stuff.
Excellent album.
Great stuff.
And it's great to see him, even if, it's a small club, theater. I don't care if I get to go see him at some big festival in Europe. I'll see him anywhere.
Yeah.
I dig his music. And solid performer, great show.
Yeah, it was an amazing show.
Even on a tiny stage, he can still put on a show.
Yeah,
bring out the axe, kill people, bleed on people.
Yeah,
and it's funny. When he brought out the skull full of blood, I knew what was coming up.
Right.
So, of course, I'm yelling, Lizzie, blood! I'm pointing to myself and motioning him over to me. Dips his hand in, plasters my face with blood, which I wore all night long.
Right.
And into the wee hours when I'm interviewing, I'm literally coated in his blood on my face, on my neck, my hands. And I've actually, it's weird, I'm actually cracking as I'm moving because it's solidified on me and it's dried up.
Right.
And it's pretty uncomfortable. Actually, I wound up getting some on your car, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
But totally worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Lizzie's bled on me before. A fun fact about B&M and WSCA, literally proving how different we are and how you won't get something like this elsewhere. Years ago, I had, when I saw Lizzie live, and he bled all over me, and, I think I might have grabbed the microphone to sing or whatever. I actually wound up getting some of his hair out of his head stuck to the blood on my hand.
Wow.
So what I did was the next B&M broadcast, I said, I got a giveaway. You're not going to get this on any other radio station. I got a hair from Lizzie Borden's head. Now you're thinking, ooh, so what? But come on.
Right.
How original is that?
Exactly.
I'm not giving away a CD or a poster. It's a hair from Lizzie Borden's head,
right,
man. And even if you don't like Lizzie Borden, hey, at least I'm trying to be somewhat original with giveaways.
Absolutely.